Every now and then it crops up. It's a suggestion that is made by a listener, or it is a suggestion made by somebody who has access to space in which to publish their opinions. And the suggestion which comes up every now and then is, why don't we consider a corruption amnesty? If we say to people, give us chapter and verse on what you did corruptly, we will guarantee you immunity from prosecution. Of course, if and only if you have spilled all the beans that were in that particular corrupt can. It's an idea that occasionally I find seductive, but not for very long and not very much. Tony Leon, former leader of the DA, and he's now a consultant in communication and reputational management and advocacy around issues. You don't like it either, Tony. Good afternoon.
Hello, John. No, I don't. And I think the analogy of the TRC, which Trudy Madonsela, who floated this, uses, completely inept, because it was a completely different time and a completely different set of circumstances, which really do not pertain today. And in fact, we can make a long argument as to why it would be a very bad idea.
No, I mean, the TRC analogy, I also think, is significantly overstretched. But the one thing that does strike me as being pertinent to both situations is that with the TRC, the people who were the most guilty of human rights violations are not the ones who appeared before the TRC, and were some of them who appeared were given amnesty. A lot of people didn't apply. None of them were followed up on afterwards. So in that sense, you kind of figure that a corruption amnesty, who would apply for it? Small fry would apply for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. The deterrence aspect is almost laughable, because if you go back to the TRC reports would end its proceedings at the end of 1998. So you've got to say the justice system was, and the prosecution authorities were, in far better nick than they are now. And even then, as you correctly point out, a lot of people just took their chances and never went before the TRC to get an amnesty. Well, I can guarantee you now, given the state of our NPA, although it has been resurrected, and the Special Investigation Unit and so on, that you'd have even less incentive to go and get an amnesty, because the chance of you being arrested would probably not be significant, other than what's appearing or coming out of the Zondo Commission, which once again negates the TRC example, because the other plus of the TRC, perhaps the best justification, was that it did give victims a voice to go before and make their stories known and to share what had happened. Well, that's what the Zondo Commission is actually doing right now in front of our eyes every day.
Yeah, I mean the National Prosecuting Authority has the right in law to say, we believe that you were corrupt and that you were party to a greater corruption conspiracy, and we will look on you favorably when it comes to prosecution and sentencing if you spill the beans. And so Chris Truter in the VBS matter had a much reduced sentence from what he could have been given for the crimes of which he was found guilty, because he is cooperating with the NPA. And that seems to me to be more of the kind of ethical building block for an attack on corruption than a broad corruption amnesty.
Precisely, because, and I think that's a very good example. I think the other one, which I came across in discussion with Johannesburg lawyer Cameron Dunstan-Smith, are deferred prosecution agreements, which they were toying with introducing here, never have. Well, that's aimed at corporates, but what it would basically do would sort of put the sword of Damocles over some corrupt corporate or corporate who'd been involved in corrupt activities and say, okay, we're going to delay the prosecution of you, but you've got to do certain things while this time is in operation. And one of them would be to actually point us to the political malefactors of who you bribed or corrupted in the process. So that's, I think there are a lot of different instruments other than simply saying we're going to sweep it under the carpet, confess everything, and it will go away. Because I think right now in South Africa, given, I mean, Cyril Ramaphosa says about R1 trillion, I think, was stolen from the state during the so-called 9 wasted years or lost decade, taxpayers want an accounting for it and they want consequences.
I find it difficult to come up with arguments for the corruption amnesty, but Perhaps that somebody who thinks it is an idea which one shouldn't easily dismiss would take issue with what you said about sweeping it under the carpet, that a corruption amnesty would not be sweeping under the carpet because it would be a very public confession of misdeed.
Yes, I think that's better expressed than I've just done. What I'm saying is, sweep under the carpet, the legal consequences would disappear. That's really what I meant. And, you know, there'd be no, there'd be no penalty, there'd be no forfeiture on your part if you confessed. And, you know, even the person who, I first came across this when some very rich businessman was proselytizing me about a few years ago and saying, oh, just get on with it, you know, you've got to get things back to normal, let's do this. And then I see Tuli Madonsela, who's obviously got a very weighty moral voice in this country for good reasons. She latched onto this idea as well. But even she backpedaled and said, oh, well, maybe we'll use against the small fry rather than just against the big fish. But even then you've got a problem. Well, you know, what's the incentive and what's the disincentive if you've got an effective prosecution service? I really think, John, that we need to fix up our prosecution authority big time, and they need to get on and do their job.
And they need to scare people into coming forward and saying, I'm going to give you stuff now before you come and haul me away in the early hours of the morning, because that way I have a better chance of getting a better deal with you. And look, I mean, we've taken some baby steps in that direction, Tony, but there are some big steps that still need to be taken.
Exactly so. But, you know, I hope that this idea doesn't get too much traction, because as with everything, you know, we always seem to find the sort of convenient, shorter route rather than going the hard yards, and that would be a mistake in this case.
Tony Leon, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.